This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The St. Louis Public Schools District has had a tumultuous year. It struggled to transport students to school, and in October, the SLPS school board voted to fire Superintendent Keisha Scarlett over her hiring practices and personnel decisions. The district is now trying to move on under new leadership. At the same time, it's under scrutiny over its projected budget deficit of $35 million, and many in the community are worried about possible school closures. There are myriad questions facing the district's leaders. On Monday this week, St. Louis Public Schools Board President Tony Cousins and Vice President Matt Davis came to our studio to answer some of them. They spoke with STLPR education reporter Hiba Ahmed and politics correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Jason began the interview by asking Board Vice President Matt Davis for his thoughts on how the school year has been going so far.
Obviously, we started out tumultuous. We had transportation issues. We had a change in leadership at our superintendent level, along with a lot of other administrators. But, you know, in terms of the school day, I have two kids in SLPS. It's been like any other school year. You know, there's highs and lows, there's ups and downs, but every day people are showing up to school. Teachers are doing what they're trained to do. And it's been, in many ways, you wouldn't notice that the headlines are saying that we're in crisis because people are doing what they always do.
Totally agree. If you go into the schools, you talk with the students, the principals, the administration, you will see something completely different than what you're reading day to day in the papers.
I want to take some time to talk a little bit about the leadership change that you were mentioning. Tony, I'll start with you. I want to ask about Keisha Scarlett. The board terminated her contract earlier this fall. Why did you fire her?
We had some concerns with what we were seeing upon her one-year evaluation. Based on the evaluation, what came to light, there was some concerns, and based on those concerns, we felt it best that we separate our relationships between her and the district.
Okay. Matt?
Yeah, so I think it's important to know what school boards do in the state of Missouri and what we're trained to do. Mm-hmm. And so to be very sort of basic, it's always said the school board has one employee, that's the superintendent. Mm-hmm. And by statute and regulation by the Department of Education, we perform an annual evaluation of a superintendent. We did it under Dr. Adams, and we were doing it under Keisha Scarlett. Mm-hmm. During that process, it came to light that there were probably more serious policy violations that required further investigation, rather than just saying, these are things, you know, on your goals that we don't think you've met, or, you know, you're a first-year superintendent. Mm-hmm. These are things you need to work on. Right. So the policy violations are really the reason that came to termination.
Okay. And so this evaluation happened, and then a third-party investigator was brought on, right?
Yes.
What did that investigation tell you?
So it's almost final. I think it will be finalized this week, and based on advice from our attorneys, we're going to decide what can be released. My hope is to release all of it, but there may be valid reasons that we're convinced by the attorneys that some of the things have to be kept confidential and can be kept confidential. But I mean, it has been our intent from the beginning. Let's make sure that the public understands exactly what we're doing.
So yeah, and I, not to interrupt, but I think there's a tension here because these are public employees doing a very public job, and people want to know why people left. How do you kind of deal with that tension, which is a very real one?
Well, I think one of the things that we did was to hire this outside investigator, so it's not just us saying it, so that they can go and create a report, they can look at documents and show exactly what policies were violated from their perspective and bring that forward. So you're trying to address that tension by making sure the employees have due process, that, you know, it's not just people running on emotion, it's not just people's opinions, but that there are facts established.
But the two of you also bear a certain amount of responsibility or accountability here because you hired her. Right. And I think that's where some of also the tension is coming from within the community.
So the two of us didn't hire her.
Mm-hmm.
Seven of us hired
her. Sure.
To be clear, it took all, to hire. And it took the community. It wasn't just the board making a decision. We went through the entire process. We had community engagement. We had input from from everyone. So we wanted, and this was the first time a process of that magnitude actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at it, like he said, in 14 years, we had never, gone through a process of that magnitude of what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We do bear the responsibility. This is who was chosen. This is who we felt would be, that person that could lead the district to where it needed to go for the changes that needed to be made. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
We took the stand and we corrected that.
Mm-hmm.
We did not allow the policy violations to go on into another year. The year of her evaluation came up and we addressed it and we took action.
Okay. And we should say that Scarlett is pushing back on her firing and has said that she will possibly file suit with the district. But I do want to go back on, you had said that, these hires are usually run by you, right? Can you clarify a little bit about what is your purview when it comes to certain positions that now need to be filled, right? Like we know the director of communications, which is, I'm worried as a journalist, that's what I'm concerned about, right? But, there's the director of transportation who recently retired last month as well. So do those positions come under your purview? Do you review those candidates?
So school boards don't sit on interviews.
Okay.
We don't do background checks. They're generally presented to us in a closed session because it's a personnel matter.
Mm-hmm.
Where we ask questions, we can request resumes. We don't get resumes for everybody that is hired. We don't get teachers' resumes. It wasn't
right.
Until we were on the board, they didn't used to even present principal and assistant principal resumes.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of information in a short amount of time. You ask your questions. If they don't have those answers, it could be delayed until the board can get together again, because it's not just casual conversations. These have to be formal meetings followed under the Sunshine Law. We have them twice a month regularly. And so you rely on the staff, and particularly the superintendent, who's the one who is our direct contact with the staff, to present us with accurate, complete information. So, for example, if this person used to work with you before and you'd worked with them before, you would expect the superintendent to say, hey, I've known this person for 10 years. That didn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I found this person through this way. That didn't always happen. And so once we realized that we weren't given the full information on not just one, but multiple hires, that became a red flag.
Mm. Do you have an idea of how much money was spent on some of these hires that Scarlett had brought on?
I do believe when we get our final report, all of that will be broken down.
Okay.
But honestly, some of them didn't even really start.
Right.
So
okay. That was my next question.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I can say it wasn't $35 million.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
Just to be clear on
but
that.
But is it a part of the 35?
No,
projected
it was not.
Deficit?
So
okay.
If you go back, I mean, really, most of these people were supposed to start in June or July.
Right.
And we really.
Of this year.
Yes.
Okay.
And so she was put on leave in July, and a lot of those people were terminated shortly thereafter, and some of them hadn't even started.
Okay.
So at most, I think people had worked there there was two employees who had worked there about a year, but then most of the other seven, I think they were, might not have even started.
Well, okay. Both of you alluded to the $35 million, which I think is the deficit that is there, correct?
Can we say, let's be clear, it's not deficit, it's debt spending. So you have a projection of what a district plan on spending for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we planned on spending $17 million, and that's when we had ESSER dollars. We exhausted all of our ESSER dollars, which means they've sunset. So this year, we projected to spend $35 million. But what's included in that is what we project of what we're planning to spend for the school year. So what we're saying is that includes our before and after care. We cover that. The district pays for that. No family has to pay for their kids to go to before and after care.
Mm-hmm.
Teacher salary increase. We cover that. Principals increase their salaries. Things of that nature is what's included in those in that type of spending. But every district has a projection of what they plan on spending for the school year. We have not come near to $35 million.
We're talking today about the state of the St. Louis Public Schools District as it faces multiple challenges and controversies this year. On Monday, St. Louis Public Radio reporters Hiba Ahmed and Jason Rosenbaum interviewed SLPS Board President Tony Cousins and Vice President Matt Davis. Before we return to that conversation, I should note that it involves a discussion of ESSER funds. That stands for Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief. This was federal funding that helped schools cover expenses during and after the pandemic. School districts had to finish spending those funds by this year. Let's return to the interview. Here's Hiba.
You mentioned ESSER funds. You know, ESSER funds have, as we've all known, have always had an end date. They have to be spent by a certain amount of, a certain time. Mm-hmm. So tell me, shouldn't have those ESSER funds, that money been accounted for? And then what type of programs will we maybe not see anymore in the coming school year?
Yeah, I remember having this conversation with Dr. Adams when I first got on the board. I said, what a great, you've got this extra $150 million. He's like, no, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Because for that exact thing, you know, once you start investing in something that works, and that's what ESSER did for a lot of these things. Some of the things were, we tried as hard as we can to do it to investments that were allowed that were one time. So things like air quality. So there were HVAC upgrades. There were some window and door replacements, yeah, stuff
furniture.
Like that. Lots of new furniture, lots of outdoor living or outdoor play spaces, which are great. But there was also requirements that you had to spend it on things that were directly related to learning. So after school programs, free school supplies. You know, mm-hmm. we started giving free school supplies. Immensely popular to tell parents, listen, don't worry
about a supply list.
To tell teachers, don't worry about it. But that was expensive. You know, it cost. The technology, you know, we did not used to have one-to-one technology. Now everybody has a laptop or an iPad. You can't go back. You just can't go back from that. That's another large expense every year.
And those that needs maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or you need to replace the laptops or iPads because they become slow and obsolete after a while. So it really isn't a one-time funding, is it?
No, it's not. And that's a $6 million to that $35 million that mm-hmm. we spent.
But then that's when, as the district, as the board, you become you start looking at different partnerships. You start looking at ways to how do you partner with different entities that look to say how do you stretch that, or how do you look to maintain situations like that. So that's when we start working with entities like Verizon, where you now have the Verizon Lab, and the way that their program is set up, they provide those additional laptops to the schools that they're now placed in. So we're able to kind of stretch what we haven't been able to do, we're now able to do. Now you're able to match Verizon Lab to expand these different services to the schools that would not normally would have been able to have those services.
You talked about the role of the school board in the overall education ecosystem, right? It is a board that is supposed to hold the district accountable. I wonder, how do you feel that Interim Superintendent Millicent Borchardt is doing? It's been a few months of her leadership. So what do you think, Tony?
I think, given everything that has been occurring within the district, within the media, mm-hmm. I think Dr. Borchardt has really put in a lot of sweat equity. Her passion and commitment for the children is remarkable. Mm-hmm. I have concerns. And it's not in a bad way, but the concerns that I have is that passion that she has. She's there from sun up to sundown. I'm really committed to seeing the success of the district. If you see, we have a legislative breakfast tomorrow just to see the wins that the district has had. A lot of the things that you see before us, the Saturday school that we have because of our students are behind on credits. She's the one instrumental in ensuring that the students have Saturday schools. She's showing up. She's showing up to things like that. She's showing up to even our football games, you know, when our children Gateway is undefeated, but she's at the games. She's there. She's presently there, not just physically, but mentally and physically she's there. So I see the passion and commitment that she has for the district. And given the scrutiny that this district has been under, her thrive and commitment to the transportation challenges that we have, like, she's committed to seeing that through and seeing the success of the district. So I have much respect for what this lady has gone through and how she's constantly committed to this district.
Mm-hmm. I spoke with her last week, and she says that she thinks that she's up for the superintendent role. Will you consider her?
Absolutely.
I would. I mean, it's not the two of ours' decision.
Yeah.
But absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she has given me no pause to think that she's not up for this role. I mean, you know, it's the first time she's done it. Mm-hmm. St. Louis City is incredibly complicated to be a superintendent in. One of the most complicated school districts in the country. Mm-hmm. And if you talk to Dr. Adams, he, maybe not on the air, but off the record, would articulate about 8 or 9 things that are very serious challenges that only St. Louis City Public Schools has to deal with. And so...
And for her to come in the way that she has.
Yes. Under personal attacks. Personal, being
yes.
slandered and, you know, thrown in the mud from day one by people who don't even know her. And then just to keep the focus on what's important is impressive.
That brings up my next question, which is, you know, I've heard a lot of language, right-sizing, reimagining, restructuring the district. But what we're talking about is school districts.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys bring it up in mm-hmm. the school board meetings, and it is very much top of mind to mm-hmm. anybody that I speak to, whether it's a parent, a teacher, an administrator in the school district. Do you have any idea of a timeline where people, any time, I'm leaving that really broad because this is a big issue in the city. So any timeline so far?
So I'll go first.
Okay.
Because this is what you guys will learn. Matt is the lawyer. Mm-hmm. So you'll hear the lawyer side and then you'll hear the community, you know, community person side. So we've been working and we know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows it's coming. But what we're not going to do, we've learned from the district and how they did it before. And from that, we're doing things a lot different. We're not doing studies just to do studies. We're taking things and we're bringing them all together. The citywide plan was a reason why we did it. The citywide education plan came from recommendations. And that was something that community was a part of, business, other schools, everyone was a part of that process. So we're using that as well as the feasibility study that you see Cordick and Clark working on, as well as the study that Missouri State Board Association did. What study is
that? Missouri School Board Association. That was an efficiency study.
The efficiency study. So you're taking all of this and we're using all of this information to help them move back and go into the community with our staff, with the parents, and what Cordick and Clark is working on. And we're actually setting up, we do have a timeline where we're getting input from all the parents, the staff, to basically start seeing what this right size looks like,
mm-hmm.
what it looks like to close a school, which area, what our population in the city looks like,
mm-hmm.
how it looks and how these decisions would make sense for all. Not just when you close a school, but how are we properly repurposing these buildings that we are closing?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the challenge that we've seen in the past. We didn't want to, with the Prop S dollars, put all of this money into a building and then you turn around and close it and it sit and then it starts getting stripped blind. So we're making sure that we're trying our best to make the best decision for everyone in the city. And we're making sure that we're having input from those, you know, that have a say in what we're trying to do.
Are there any plans to close schools this school year?
No.
There are no plans. There's no secret plans.
No.
There's no public plans.
Vashon is not sold.
Right.
No.
Everything we've told you is the work that we're doing.
Right.
And we're doing it in a way that we can have all of the information and come up with something where we're giving people realistically something better.
Right.
You know, it may not be the best thing for your neighborhood, but it's going to be the best thing for your students' education. And
we'll let you know so you can help spread the word.
Okay. But do you have a goal in mind of when you'd like to start making these decisions?
We can't necessarily give to you when we have a goal in mind, because we don't know until that's a discussion with the entire board to say what this timeline looks like and what, you know, when this closure will happen.
That was St. Louis Public Schools Board President Tony Cousins and Board Vice President Matt Davis. They spoke Monday with St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Hiba Ahmed and politics reporter Jason Rosenbaum. You can listen to an extended version of that interview on the Politically Speaking podcast.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski and engineered by Emily Woodbury.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.